Welcome to the IP 360 podcast, brought to you by IP Private Wealth. This podcast talks about wealth, health, and all the different ways we measure our success. It's a true 360-degree look at how we manage our wealth. Today, we talk with Rachel Cavan, CEO and nutritionist at Cavan Nutrition. We talk today about nutrition for executives, how to perform your best with the support of the right food. Let's go to the interview. I'm here today with Rachel Cavan, CEO and nutritionist at Cavan Nutrition. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Rachel, do you want to tell us a little bit about Cavan Nutrition, what you do and how you got started?
Sure. It was a long time ago. So I've had this business for almost 12 years now. So the way I got started in nutrition, so I always knew I wanted to do something to help people and probably something in the medical field because my whole family is very medical. Like I think 50% of my huge extended family are nurses, and there's like doctors and veterinarians and like pharmaceutical reps. Like there's a lot of things going on in my family, a lot of medical positions. So that was my goal. I was going to be a veterinarian like my mom. And then she gave me this book once, and I'm sure she regrets it to this day. And it's called Things They Don't Want You to Know About. And one of the things in it talked about how we're not supposed to be eating dairy because we're not baby cows. And it was just like this, like, you know, the Matrix moment of like the blue pill, red pill, like, oh my gosh, like, what else are they lying to us about in terms of nutrition and the government regulations and everything? So I went up down this like huge rabbit hole and, you know, read every single thing I could about nutrition. I decided not to do the veterinarian route after that and to pursue nutrition because it's something that affects every single person's life day in and day out. And it's like one thing that you have the opportunity to improve your, basically everything about your life. So your mood, your productivity, you know, your digestion, how you're feeling, your skin health, your hair health, like absolutely everything that goes on in your life, that is, nutrition is the building blocks for that. So it's such a great opportunity that every single person eats every day. So with every meal and everything that you put in your mouth, you have the opportunity to build up your health. So I always thought that was so amazing. And then just on a personal note, like I think like most people, we've struggled with weight and body image issues and all of that stuff. Like I remember, you know, my mom saying, calling herself overweight, and I won't get too much into that, but I remember drinking like weight loss shakes when I was younger, thinking they're going to be healthy. And I remember like really restricting my food intake and restricting my calories. And then once I kind of figured it out, like healthy eating and how, like once you figure out what works for your body, it's so easy and you feel so great. And it's like, I wanted that for everyone. I wanted everyone to get off this like diet roller coaster and all this, like, it's interesting because that's so popular now, like this positive body image, which I absolutely love, and like this toxic diet culture is so popular on social media. But I feel like I figured that out a long time ago, thankfully, after years and years of struggling with it, and it's now only becoming like more mainstream. So I love that so much for everyone. So I started my business, I did my nutrition training. And then of course I was so young and naive and I was just like, I'm gonna save the world with vegetables and everyone's gonna, you know, sprout their own mung beans and like make their own almond milk and all this stuff. Cause that's what I was doing because I was young and in my 20s and I had all the time in the world. And then I got pregnant on purpose. I was married and then I've done other podcasts on my story, but I won't go into it right now, but I ended up being a single mom. So I had to build my business being a single mom. I remember the one thing I was like really pro with parenting was breastfeeding, just because that was like the one nutrition thing. I'm like, this is the most important thing for my baby because it's the most highly nutritious thing. So I would be driving. I had two offices at the time. I would go to one office and then I would, you know, go to my lawyer, and then I would pump in the backseat of my car when my baby was like 5 months old. And because I had nowhere else to go, and it was the middle of winter. It's like it was like rock bottom for me. But it was like I knew that it was going to get better because I was building my business and I was helping people. And I was doing therapy at the time, which was like the best money I've ever spent in my whole life. And my therapist was the one who was like, you're handling this situation so well, like it must have something to do with your nutrition. And she ended up sending so many people to me, which I so appreciate. So that was like over 10 years ago. And so during that time, I was going through a really crazy time in my life, building a business as a single mom, trying to just make enough money to like support myself and my son. And then also all of my clients at that time were mostly from this therapist. So other people who were going through crazy, crazy times. And in that 1 year, I felt like I grew so much as a person and so much as a practitioner, because I went from being like this 20-year-old, like just make a salad, you have time, like do the meal prep, right? To, you know, eating cold scrambled eggs off my son's high chair and like, you know, dropping him off at my sister's house because he was too young to go to daycare, and like, you know, getting a coffee and a chocolate chip cookie on the way to work and then telling people they shouldn't have sugar. So it was a crazy, crazy time, because I really grew the empathy for people and realized that everyone is going through a hard time, and nutrition does not have to be so picture perfect. It's really just making it work for you. So that was really a long story about how I got started, but I feel like with Cabin Nutrition, how we've grown as a company. So right now it's amazing. We have a team of nutritionists, the best in the business, because I love having my own business, because I get to pick every single person I work with, and they are the best of the best. And my number one criteria is how much do you care for people? Because the nutrition part, like the science, doing the meal plans, all of that stuff, I could teach anyone how to do that. But that love for people, that's what I really look for in hiring nutritionists and bringing on other team members. So our big mission is to help people feel their best and work at their highest level, whether they're also CEOs, whether they're also moms, or maybe they're university students, maybe they're teenagers. We want them to basically live their best lives and feel their best with really, really great nutrition. So that's kind of sums it up in a really long way, what we do.
Yeah. I mean, that story is so helpful too, to understand where your perspective comes from on this topic today around, you know, nutrition for executives and staying nutritionally healthy or doing better nutritionally when you're running a business, which is so many of our listeners are entrepreneurs or executives. So you've like lived both sides of that, you know, making the bad choices, making the good choices, figuring out how to make good choices fit into the lifestyle that goes with running a business and being a mom and all the other things that you have going on. So tell us a little bit more about what you learned about eating or nutrition when it comes to like business life, # executive life, # eating out of your car between meetings life.
Yes. Yes. So many things we could talk about here. So I would say the number one thing I would recommend to people, and this is really what we do with our private clients, is figuring out what works for them. So it took me years and years and years to do this. I read every single book, I tried every single diet. It took me years to finally figure out, to get to the point of intuitive eating. So that's another, you know, # intuitive eating on social media right now, that everyone's like, all you have to do is intuitively eat. Okay, that's great if you're eating really good quality whole foods, you're not addicted to caffeine, you're not addicted to sugar. You know, you're not drinking a bottle of wine at the end of the day to deal with your stressful life. Sure, great, intuitively eat. But most people aren't there yet. So they need to figure out what works for their body. and what makes them feel the best. So we kind of like that, like, you know, 20-year time frame it took me to get to that point. With our clients, we can do that in a very short period of time because we have the background knowledge of obviously nutrition education and then working with thousands of clients to get them to the point that works the best for them. So we start every client with a blank slate. So like, we're not, you know, not everyone needs to do keto or intermittent fasting or become a vegan because I saw a documentary on Netflix about it, right? We really meet people where they're at and figure out what's going to make them happy. Because if you hate what you're eating, then what's the point? You're not going to keep up with it.
I think that's a big part of, sorry, Rachel. Okay. I think it's a big part of what it is for business owners too, right? Like a lot of business owners, a lot of executives, like we're A-type, we're moving quickly. We don't have time for little details. I need something that fits my life, that I'm not necessarily ready or even have time to make my life fit around a new thing, right?
Yeah.
So finding a way that will actually work for my situation.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my favorite type of client, is someone who's just like, just tell me what to do. Right. They'll get results really, really quickly. So I love the A-type personality clients. So really, just because someone else is doing something, that doesn't mean that that's going to work for you. So I would say the number one recommendation we make to people is to actually eat. We get people to start fueling themselves with food and with nutrition instead of just like that caffeine and sugar roller coaster that most people are on. So one of the first steps I would say to focus on, if you want, because the key when you are running a business or you're a mom or you're all of the above, is you need your energy throughout the day. You can't be having that 3 o'clock crash when you want to have a nap. And unfortunately, we're all working from home now, or a lot of people are, and it's very easy to have a nap in the afternoon. And also our fridges are really close to us as well. So what I would suggest for everyone to do, one of the most important things, is just focusing on protein. So getting 20 to 30 grams of protein per meal, and especially your breakfast, which is your first meal of the day, obviously. But some people who aren't eating like right away in the first thing in the morning. So whenever you're breaking that fast, of the overnight fast, is when you want to be having that 20 to 30 grams of protein should be the first thing that you're putting in your body. So that's going to look like, you know, a serving of protein is about the size of your palm. If you're using a meat serving, or 2 to 3 eggs, or, you know, 3/4 of a cup of Greek yogurt, or lentils, beans and legumes, things like that. So that's going to be the number one thing. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say, you need to cut out this and you need to cut out that. That's what people love to hear. But really, let's instead add things back in. So add the protein that's going to balance your blood sugar. So if you feel like you're on this blood sugar roller coaster where you are crashing in the afternoon and you're not sleeping well at night, if you're waking up at like 2 or 3 in the morning every single night, then that's often because of what you ate for breakfast. It affects your blood sugar that long.
Interesting. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so 2 to 3 eggs, or like, I think that's the go-to is eggs, but you'd mentioned like meat. Would you say someone could actually eat like a meat protein in the morning?
100%. So I think one of the most harmful things that the food industry has done is they have this concept of breakfast food and also kid food, but that's not what we're talking about on this podcast.
Yeah.
So breakfast food, and in other cultures, they will eat fish and veggies for breakfast, and that's completely normal. In North America, we focus on bagels and cereal and, you know, smoothies with a ton of sugar in them. And, you know, all these really high sugar, high carbohydrate foods for breakfast. And instead, we want to be focusing on that protein. So I would say just don't think of it as breakfast. Just think of it as a meal, like any other meal. Like leftovers for breakfast are absolutely amazing. Some people, because we've all been brought up on carbohydrates for breakfast.
Yep.
And I'm not saying don't eat carbohydrates. I'm just saying make sure you get that 20 to 30 grams of protein when you have your breakfast as well. So if that is in the form of an animal protein, if that's what you're eating, then that's great. You're going to feel like, just do an experiment with yourself. Just trust me on this one. So, you know, if you change nothing else in your diet, and when I say diet, the definition, I know it's become a four-letter word, but technically the definition of diet is just the way that you eat. So
right.
For all these purposes, there it's just, you know, that's the definition for it. So what to change in your diet is, in the morning, eat the protein and don't change anything else. Like, eat whatever you want the rest of the day or what you would normally eat, but have one of my favorite things to recommend is 2 eggs and an avocado, because it's like, it's so delicious. Great source of protein. An egg has basically all of the nutrients that we know of, except for vitamin C. And then with that avocado, it has really great fats, vitamin E, monounsaturated fats, which are really great for your heart and your skin and your hair and all of that stuff. So it's a really great breakfast. And you can have it in the form of guacamole. You can have different kinds of eggs, do whatever you want. But experiment with that for a week or two, instead of either skipping breakfast or eating that donut or something. And I can pretty much guarantee you're gonna feel amazing afterwards and really notice the benefits of having a high protein breakfast. And it's not even a high protein, 20 to 30 grams is not high protein, just a protein containing breakfast.
Right. Well, it's a lot more protein than, yes, you're right, than the food industry sort of suggests we should be eating. You're right, it's toast and cereal. And, you know, just as we're talking about it all, I can picture all these cartoon characters telling me to eat different fun cereals, right? But I mean, I think if I told my husband he can have fajitas for breakfast, he's going to get pretty excited.
Oh, yeah. And think about, like, a lot of people, they'll have breakfast as a dessert. Like, you have dinner and then you're like, a little snacky, you need something else. And, you know, you have like a bowl of cereal for basically dessert. Like, that should be enough to explain that that's not a very good breakfast for you. Whatever you eat for the first meal of the day, that sets up your blood sugar for the rest of the day.
Awesome. So I have a question for you. When we're on the road, we're running around, we're going to meetings, stuff like that, and you're getting hungry, you're hitting the hangry spot where you got to put something in your face. First of all, as I understand it, your brain kind of stops functioning in terms of making good choices, right? But secondly, so now we know that, like, you know, you're in hunger mode and I've been there where you're halfway through a donut and you're like, how did this even happen? I was so focused today. So when you're having those moments of like need to eat on the road, how can a person, or how can we read nutrition on a package and have an idea if it's even kind of like a good choice? Like, you know, you see things and it's like, this one says low fat, this one says keto, this one says healthy fats, you know, but how can a person kind of quickly ascertain if this is something that's probably going to fit in with good blood sugar?
For sure. So that's a great question. When you're looking at a food label, a food label is always an opportunity for marketing. So whatever's on the front that says this is gluten-free or organic or vegan, just who cares, right? Unless you're actually like need a gluten-free diet, then that's important. But otherwise, it's just marketing. So what I would always do is flip that package over and look at the ingredients first. Make sure that it's real food, that you actually understand what's in it. And then you can look at the nutrition facts. So obviously you want to do a low amount of sugar. So I always compare everything to a Coke or a pop or soda or whatever you want to call it, because they're all very similar. So we all know that, like, drinking a pop it's a lot of sugar, right? Like, we all know that. So there's 33 grams of sugar in a can of pop. So try to do a lot less than that. So because there's a lot of things out there that you think are really healthy, and then there's like, you know, 60 grams of sugar in it or something. It's like, you just had 2 Cokes by, you know, having this like healthy smoothie drink or something like that. So again, you want to make sure that the sugar, I would say, is like, you know, under 20, even under 10 is good. And then the things that are going to be really great for your blood sugar, again, the protein. So at least 20 grams per serving or per whole meal. You want to also look at the fiber. So trying to focus on getting at least 25 grams of fiber per day, but having 5 grams of fiber in that meal is going to really help your blood sugar as well. So, and this is the thing, you don't have to change your lifestyle that much to be healthier. So for example, earlier today, I had to pick something up in the city and I wanted to stop at Starbucks because I love going to Starbucks. And, you know, when you're there, you have the opportunity, you could get, I don't even know if they have donuts, but they have cookies and they have muffins and all this stuff. And they have their drinks, dear Lord, like that's where you're getting at least 60 grams of sugar per drink. So, but there's healthier ways you can do that. So instead I got, you know, just a black coffee with some oat milk, and I got the egg bites. So again, it's not perfect, but in that time when I had a limited, I have a busy day today and I had a limited amount of time, I know that that's going to get me further than anything else that I would want to eat there. So even if you want to go to Starbucks or insert any restaurant and get a cookie, that's fine, but just make sure you have that protein first, because that's going to help, you know, blunt the effect of that, the sugar in the cookie. So sorry, one more thing that I'll just add to that is, if you're out and about and looking for healthy food, a grocery store is always a great option. So they have pre-made things. You can get hard-boiled eggs. You can get a salad with chicken. They have a lot of really great options, or you can get like a veggie tray, or, you know, chopped veggies or chopped fruit or something. So there's lots of, it's rare that you're at the, like in a situation where you have to get a Big Mac. Not saying that's bad. It's like every once in a while, that's what you want to have, but like there's options out there at every restaurant. So, there's always something that you can find.
Right. And so also, I know that we've talked a bit before. Can you kind of fill us in, it's going to sound like a pun now, around the concept of water and hydration?
Yeah. So super important. And I feel like I bring this up at every single interview I do, and it's not sexy and it's not exciting. You know, people want like the newest supplement or diet that's going to help them. But honestly, if you're not drinking your water 2 to 3 liters a day, that's going to affect your performance. And we understand this in a physical way. If you're an athlete and you need to have, you know, obviously you need hydration for your performance, but it also works for your mental and emotional performance. Often if you are thirsty, or if you're hungry, sorry, then it's just because you're thirsty. So always drink water first before anything. So one of my rules is to always hydrate before you caffeinate. So if you are going to go to Starbucks and get, you know, a venti coffee, if it's a day and you need a venti, that's fine. But make sure you're drinking a venti of water first, because that is going to dehydrate you. So again, another experiment you can do on yourself. That sounds really weird, but it's true. I think you should be experimenting with what makes you feel the best. If you're not drinking water now, or if you're getting your hydration from juice or, you know, iced coffee, just so delicious in the summer. But just make sure you're also getting that 2 to 3 liters of water. It's going to make all the difference. And if you feel like you're peeing all the time, cut back on those other like sugary drinks, and just focus on the water.
Yeah. And I think the next question that will come up when people hear this is, does it count if it's like a decaf tea or something? Does that count as hydration, or should it really just be like straight water?
It does still count. So any herbal tea is completely fine. The things that don't count would be things that have caffeine or sugar or alcohol, of course. Those are all diuretics and are going to make you more dehydrated. But I still think it's good just like drink, like especially first thing in the morning, have a huge glass of water and just flush everything out. Like that's one of the best ways you can start your day. So while you're waiting for your coffee to brew, you know, have a big glass of water.
Right. Talk to us more about caffeine. It's part of life, especially if you're in a high-paced job or business situation. I haven't seen it successfully done where my friends have, you know, I've had lots of friends and family say, oh, I'm going to cut out caffeine. It doesn't ever seem to stick. Is there a different way to approach caffeine besides an all or nothing approach?
Absolutely. So it's funny because a lot of people say they don't want to go see a nutritionist because they don't want to give up their caffeine. So I'm happy to say that I have never cut anyone's caffeine 100% out ever. I have decreased it though for some people who their number one concern is anxiety and they're having like 7 ventis a day. That is not an exaggeration. I had one client who came to me once and that was her presenting symptom was anxiety, and she was literally having 7 ventis from Starbucks a day.
Oh my God.
So I didn't even cut out her coffee because that would be way too much. We just cut it down, and that she came back the next week and felt amazing, didn't have anxiety anymore. So it's almost irresponsible that a lot of medical professionals don't talk about diet, because going to a doctor with these symptoms, their first thing would be medication, which is great. Medication is awesome when we need it, but it was such an easy fix to just cut. I think we just switched to decaf. We didn't even, or sorry, half calf. We didn't even cut back on her amount of coffee. So what we try to do is keep people's routines as similar as possible. Okay, so the good news is that all studies show that 1 to 2 cups of coffee a day is actually better for you than not having coffee. So if you're not a coffee drinker, I wouldn't say that you have to start drinking coffee. But if it's part of your life already, then that's, you know, you don't have to cut it out if you feel good with it. And again, that's always the key. If you feel good with it, if it's causing you anxiety and causing you not to sleep at night, let's reassess this and maybe cut back or change the timing. So it is really important when you drink your coffee. So a lot of people are drinking coffee first thing in the morning and they say that they can't wake up without it, which is 100% true, because your body uses cortisol. Your cortisol hormone is highest in the morning and that helps you wake up. So caffeine actually suppresses cortisol. So if you're waking up in the morning and you're drinking a coffee right away, then that's going to suppress your cortisol. And then you actually lose the ability to fully wake up without caffeine. So you trained yourself to function like that. So what I suggest first thing in the morning, we're going to start off with, you know, big glass of water. And then after the first thing we eat is going to be protein. If you are not, you know, a food person in the morning, then we can do a protein powder if you want. So that's actually really great, like two birds with one stone, because you can just mix it with some water and you get your hydration or a bit of hydration as well as the protein with that. Or what a lot of our clients do is they add collagen to their coffee. So you kind of make your coffee into a, almost like a smoothie or like a, I wouldn't say a meal replacement, but kind of like a snack replacement, when you put some collagen in there to get the protein, and then maybe some coconut oil or coconut milk or something with a bit of fat, because that's going to keep you going. So you don't get the high caffeine spike if you add the protein and some good fats to your coffee.
And just to be clear here, Rachel, for people who don't know, collagen just dissolves into coffee. It's not like you're adding protein powder in the usual sense of like a protein powder. It's invisible. It's tasteless. It just goes away.
Yeah, exactly. So you mix it in and you don't taste it at all. Right. However, you could make a coffee smoothie if you wanted to, with some chocolate protein powder. If it's a hot day, like that would be a delicious thing to do. So the best time to drink coffee is actually 10 a.m. or about, you know, 2 to 3 hours after you wake up. So what I would suggest, like that's when your cortisol is the lowest. So it's not going to affect your energy. So having water first thing in the morning, trying not to have coffee right away. Of course, again, like I have a newborn right now, like I will drink coffee in the morning, and sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. And there is no judgment about that. But just try to push it off as long as you can. If you can get to 9 to 10. So when you start your workday, that's actually the best time to have your coffee. It's going to increase your productivity. So using caffeine strategically, so don't stop using it just to survive, unless you need to, then that's fine. But if you can, stop using it just to wake up and survive, and use it to really increase your productivity. So the lowest dose of caffeine that you can function with, and make sure you're getting the hydration, and make sure you're eating. So don't just survive off caffeine alone. So caffeine is like an energy credit card. You have to pay it back plus interest later. So you can actually get more tired later in the day.
Oh, interesting. And how does this tie in with that like 3 o'clock lull? Is that a time when people usually try and supplement with caffeine?
For sure. So the 3 o'clock lull is usually caused by blood sugar. So often by either having not enough protein for breakfast, not eating enough throughout the day. So if you have days where you're like, oh, it's 3 o'clock and I don't even think I had lunch today, then you're going to get that lull as well. And then obviously having lots of caffeine in the morning, because then you're going to get that caffeine crash. So the issue with the 3 o'clock slump is that you don't want to use caffeine at that time to increase your energy, because then the caffeine is going to still be in your system at nighttime, and you're going to have a trouble sleeping. And that's just going to make the whole cycle go on and on and on. So it is much better to focus on the reasons behind that slump. Make sure you're getting a good sleep, you know, protein, lots of water throughout the day. And then if you do find you have that slump, take a break, go outside, do some jumping jacks, like do something, like just step away for a minute. If you're able to have a power nap, you might not be able to do that when you go back to the office, but you know, if you're able to at home and you have the ability to do that and you're not going to sleep for like hours, then maybe just like a little power nap or just a rest, just, you know, take a break from work, step away. It's so difficult that we've just spent over a year working from home because there's not a lot of separation between work and home life. So it's just like, you know, people are working at their dining room tables and are never really having a break. So taking that time to have a break is so important.
Yeah. So just before we wrap up here, Rachel, I know that a lot of our executives will try and fit in exercise into like a dead spot in their day. Some people that's 5 a.m, some people that's when, you know, sometimes that's 10 o'clock at night, sometimes it's at noon. How do we fit our eating around exercise? Like there's a lot of opinions out there around eating before or after or whatever. What do you guys recommend for this?
That's a great question. So there's a lot of studies that show, so often people are exercising to decrease body fat. So I'll touch on that, and then I'll touch on other purposes of exercise. So there's studies that show that if you exercise on an empty stomach, you're going to burn more fat during the exercise. However, if you are exercising with a fueled body, so you've eaten before, you're going to burn more fat or more calories the next 24 hours. So really it is actually better to exercise fueled. Plus you're probably going to get a better exercise out of that. And you know, you're going to be able to run longer or lift higher weights or whatever you're working on. So I'd say, again, the key is to figure out what you feel best with. So some people, if they're exercising first thing in the morning, they're just not ready for food. They want to get up, they want to do their exercise and then focus on breakfast afterwards. And then some people, they feel better if they have a little something in their stomach. So maybe like that, eat just a banana or something light like that. And that's perfectly fine. It's really whatever you feel best with. So if you're exercising in the middle of the day at lunchtime or in the afternoon or in the evening, then I would say try to time it to have a snack, a meal or a snack at least 2 hours before. So it gives you your body, you don't want to eat something right before because you're not going to have digested it. But enough time that you have a little something in your belly. And then for after exercise, again, the most important thing to focus on is protein. So a lot of people, they don't want to eat after exercise and they think that that's going to prolong the fat burning, but that's not true. You want to be eating something right afterwards. So the best thing for right after exercise is a combination of carbohydrates and protein. That could just be like an apple and peanut butter. Hopefully you've timed it out like that you have a meal coming up, but if you need a quick snack, just something like an apple and peanut butter, or again, like going back to a smoothie or a protein shake, something super, super easy. And one thing to remember, because people always ask this question, like what's the best pre and post workout meal? You have to realize that every single meal is a pre and post workout meal, right?
Right.
So just because like people are get so obsessed about like, I'm going to have this like energy shake right before and this like, you know, BCAAs right after. And really when you think of, and then they eat like garbage later because they're like, I worked out, I can do this. But every single meal is a pre and post workout meal. So you want to be just eating healthy all the time. So when you think about exercise, so we kind of talked about for weight loss or for fat loss there, but the key with exercise, how we approach it, because you can't out-exercise a bad diet. So if you're eating just whatever you want and then you're trying to just exercise off those calories, it's just not going to work out well for you. You end up being hungrier. You have more cravings because your body needs more food. It's a great opportunity to eat more and get more nutrients into your body if you are eating really, really well. So I'd say like find the exercise that makes you feel the best. So something that you love that is not a chore. It's not something else on your to-do list, because already as an executive, you have so many things on your to-do list. You do not need another one that you dread going into. So find something that you love, whether it's just it's hiking or biking or, you know, doing something with your kids or going to a yoga class. But if you like, if you hate yoga, then don't do it. If you hate running, then don't do it. Find something that you love that's like recess. That's the key. So something that you look forward to, so you're not using your willpower, because our willpower is finite, right? We only have so much of it for everything we do in our lives. So that's where it needs to be, like nutrition needs to be easy, exercise needs to be easy, so that those things just are part of our routine and not something that we dread.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's funny, I think kind of like my takeaway note from our chat today is have fun and eat.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the opposite of what you'd expect or what you think you're going to hear when you go to talk about you know, nutrition and health. In terms of food, what we hear a lot of time is eat less and do the horrible exercise. You know, go be a CrossFit person. Doesn't matter if you're, you know, 42 and never done anything like that before. And, you know, it's fine when you hurt yourself, you know. I like that it's, you know, go have recess and eat your snacks.
Yeah, exactly. And once you figure out what works for you, like I would say I eat whatever I want to eat. But it's because I know what works for me. I know what feels best for me. Like I know that eating healthy makes me feel amazing. And people always ask this, so I'll just throw it out there. What are the things that, you know, the bad food, quote unquote, that I love? I would live off red wine and Reese peanut butter cups and coffee. That is my ideal diet. 100%. That is what I like would love to live off, but I know I wouldn't be able to function the way that I function. I would feel horrible. I wouldn't be able to like make it through a presentation. I would snap at my kids. Like, so it's, you know, I know that in order to live the life that I want, I want to eat healthy and I want to eat these things. And then I'm going to drink some red wine, you know, on the weekend because I love it so much. So, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Amazing. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been a really great chat. So Rachel, CEO of Cavin Nutrition, where can people find out more about your business?
Yeah, so we have our website, cavinnutrition.com. And you can also find us on Instagram at cavin_nutrition. And as well, we have a free Facebook group. So just look up Cavin Nutrition's group. And we post tons of recipes, tons of tips, challenges, stuff like that. There's so much free resources we have. So definitely check out any of those platforms.
I mentioned this to Jenny on the last interview with you guys, but you sent out a Super Bowl snack recipe set, and in there was a chicken finger made with oats instead of whatever usually is breaded on chicken fingers, and that has become a staple in our house.
Amazing. I love it.
It's not just for the Super Bowl anymore.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. And Rachel, if people aren't from Ottawa where your office is located, you guys can offer Zoom services and stuff like that as well, nutrition counseling over the internet.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've done that even before COVID. So we have clients from all around the world.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you so much, Rachel. We hope to talk to you again soon. And thanks so much for sharing all your wisdom with us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the IP360 podcast. We look forward to talking with Rachel and Cavin Nutrition again. If you'd like to reach out to us here, you can email us at comms@ipprivatewealth.com or head to ipprivatewealth.com for more information on the IP360 philosophy to wealth management. See you next time. And now for the fine print. The opinions and statements expressed by our team are effective as of the date of this broadcast and may be subject to change.